Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a no facts, all feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And it has been a week all week. One of my classic transitions into chatting about wrestling. It's this week. How's everyone doing?
For our 2-year anniversary, I think I'm going to make like a montage of just the things that you say after I say, I'm Leah. And it's just going to be.
That'll be amazing. That's so exciting.
That's not going to reflect well on me, I would say.
Just a lot of wow. Wowie.
Well, here we are again. And couldn't be happier about it to talk about wrestling, the subject of this podcast. Hello. Anyone have anything to say about their week before we get into it? Or
I feel just discombobulated, so I'm very interested to see what I'm going to come out with today.
I can't wait to decide how I feel about some things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was definitely a week in which like I kept going strong and then petering out. I was like, yeah, this is a great episode. Then I was like, cannot believe this is still on.
Really strong first hour of Dynamite this
yeah.
week.
Oh, and a hot first hour.
Not
yeah.
sure what happened in the second hour.
Well, like,
literally not
it,
sure. So yeah. Might have been good.
I think it went over well. Like, I think they said Booker of the Year, Tony Khan. And we said, well, I said to you guys that I tangled up a big skein of yarn and I spent the full back half and actually many hours after the show
what did
was
you
over
due to the yarn.
Well, when you know, I didn't know this, but so I accidentally bought this. Is it, do you call it a skein when it hasn't been rolled into a ball yet?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I bought that by accident years ago. But finally, I say, time to knit with it. So I looked up how to make it into a ball once I opened it up. And they got some instructions about how to make a ball. And but they said in the instructions, they said to prevent it from getting tangled, you should put it around two chairs, the backs of two chairs to kind of keep it.
Yeah.
And what I thought was, I'm not going to do that. And as I didn't do it, I thought, and that's a huge mistake. And it was a really big mistake. But the whole time I was untangling it, I thought, like, maybe I needed this. Like, maybe it's like when your body is craving salt, you know, like it was like I needed just like a little, you know, you're just untangling something for a just couple hours.
Yeah, you can really zone out untangling things, like just really escape your body a little bit.
I watched the rest of Dynamite in 3 episodes of The Last of Us. So,
wow.
Yeah. Hmm. So that's enough talk. Time for the main unless you guys did have something to
imagine if I was like, let's just keep going hard on the yarn.
You keep giving us more and more opportunity, like anything else you want to say, or we can't talk about wrestling, but really, how are your weeks?
We are 40 minutes into this Zoom and we only just started recording now because we just we weren't ready.
Like,
we
I'm losing time. We've been on this for that
we're 40 minutes into this episode, Allie, and we haven't even started talking about the wrestling yet.
How long was I talking about the yarn? Okay, ring ring. Who do you think is calling on our beautiful telephone? Could it be Mommy's Little Babies, the Elite, who were on TV this week cutting a promo? They use their mouths to make words. Even Kenny said words on TV. What do you think of
there's a lot of words
with his classic Kenny inflections. Oh, insane. Yeah. Beautiful. Just landed here from outer space.
I will say that I only understood that they had said words on my second viewing. The first time I sort of like there was just buzzing in my ear and I just kept going, what the fuck is Matt Jackson wearing? Just over and over.
You want to describe it, Leah? You want to get into it?
I would say like it's a mixture of like if he was like an NBA basketball player who got shrunk and so now he was a little boy in a big man's clothes, or like he was like wearing some kind of like breathable linen pantsuit and he was just like swanning around a cruise ship.
I wasn't joking, like that was at the end of her life and she was very old. My grandmother, I'm a wrestling commentator now. That was all she was wearing, was pantsuits of that exact nature. And she had shrunk a lot because of her age and losing weight as she aged. So they hung like that on her. Huge.
To me, what it looked like was like if you were in a cult and you were all about to commit suicide, that's what you put on right before.
That's a Heaven's Gate outfit.
Uh-huh. Yeah. With the sneakers, you know? So
and he took them home.
Here's the most important thing that I would like to say about all of this, though.
Please.
He not only purchased that outfit, but he said, I'm going to wear it. And I'm going to, I'm going to post it to Instagram and tag it Fit Check.
Well, and I liked that it was that he and Nick did not agree that that was the outfit to wear. Yeah. Tony, because usually they match to a certain extent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Nick said, at least not this genre. Week, brother.
Nick was not willing to put on the Heaven's Gate outfit.
I would say all three of them actually were in different genres because Nick was still maintaining like their very strange. I don't what do you even call
they're
them,
like
Nick?
Women's pajama set print
rompums,
but like villainous
rompums. Yeah, right. But villainous. Like, yeah,
an evil pajama
villainous
set.
Lisa Frank rompums.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So that was Nick. Matt was doing whatever that was, and then Kenny just showed up in a, like a pair of dirty sweatpants.
Mm-hmm. And the belt. Said no. He was wearing the belt too.
He yeah, he the put belt. The belt on. Yeah, but Matt didn't put the belt on.
Was it you or my friend Sarah who was like, if he, Sarah was like, I don't think he put on the belt because he didn't want to ruin the line of his pantsuit.
It's right. It's absolutely right. And it wouldn't have looked, it would have looked kind of maybe like corsety. Yeah. That's not nothing, Matt. Give it a try. No, get into like a little like, it's Ren Faire season. It's not coming up anytime soon, actually, but maybe in the summer.
What is Ren Faire season? Summer?
Well, when they open the Ren Faire in summer.
When do they? I've never attended.
May or June or July sometime
It's kind of really ballpark in it.
Depends on the fair.
Allie's like the other hemisphere from what we're on.
I think
can't
I
can't remember the month names anymore. Yeah.
I think I always think it's going to be May. I really have not gone almost ever in my life, but I talk about going a lot. And then when I go, I've had some pretty disappointing experiences where you kind of like remember who else is at the Ren Faire.
Yeah. The people who go to Ren Faires are the kind of the problem. No offense to anyone listening who's a Ren Faire person. But I do feel like Allie, your kind of perfect lifestyle would be like Ren Faire blacksmith, I think.
Yeah. But it's like, it's really important to me that the outfits have like, that they've been beautifully constructed. Mm-hmm. And that's not what you're finding a lot at the Ren Faire. Oh, like people aren't sharing like my craftsmanship. Values.
Yeah, I feel like Allie's Ren Faire is like a really an idealized Ren Faire, like the Ren Faire Ren Faire wants to be, but then you show up and you're like, oh, it's just Comic-Con for fantasy.
People have said to me before that what I'm looking for is LARPing, like really serious LARPing.
Yeah.
And I said, we can't get into all that. Well, this has been a good diversion. Anything you want to say about the promo? So, I guess I didn't explain anything that happened. Look, last week, Top Flight challenged the Elite to a trios match. This week, the Elite in this promo accepted the match. And then, is it still the Firm? So they're still called the Firm?
I don't know. Didn't Kenny say, like, whatever you guys are called? So I don't know
did.
If they're...
You're right.
I don't know if they're switching.
Ethan Page, Matt Hardy, Isaiah Cassidy, and Stokely Hathaway. Just the funniest group of men. Like, as I was thinking about it, I was like, it's so good.
It's such
a weird group.
Yeah.
They showed up and were like, why don't you fight us too? They had a little back and forth. And then they said, yes, we will fight them on Rampage. So the Elite will be on Rampage.
And then
this week,
and then Isaiah moaned into Kenny's ear.
Yeah, he did.
Well, Kenny made the most appalled face.
Well, it took Kenny like a moment even to really process what was happening, I think. And then he like shuddered and shoved him away. I loved Matt Jackson's face in the background, which I keep thinking of as anthropological. I was like, he just looked like it wasn't even like really disgust. He looked like, wow, this does not happen every day. You do not see something like this every day.
Isaiah Cassidy, but he really explores the space of human noises in a way that
so true.
I appreciate from him. Yeah.
He is a soundboard.
I was right to make him my cranberry juice. I was right.
Yeah. He's all of our cranberry juicy now.
Juicy.
They've got Oosie over there. We've got Juicy.
We've got Juicy.
Cranberry Juicy. Yeah.
We've got cranberry and orange juicy. We got all the juicies. We got every kind of juicy. Any other thoughts? I'm happy to see him and I can't wait to see him. And I can't wait to see him again.
Excited for them to be on Rampage. I'm just used to Orange Cassidy being the only like person people want to see on Rampage. So it's like exciting.
I know he has been carrying Rampage.
But Tony put Hangman on last week. Let's not.
Tony has he's been repented trying. Of his Rampage ways lately. Yeah. So,
but OC is the only one who's been there the whole time. Yeah.
The whole time. Yeah.
Which is very funny to think about. It's like Orange Cassidy's just like, yeah, no problem, boss. Yeah,
sure. I'll keep him there. I'll keep him there for the hour.
To keep the lights on at Rampage, me alone. It's my pleasure.
Whatever.
And no don't problem. You feel like like Chuck and Trent are sort of like we could go home and stop volunteering for Rampage. We could be at the hotel already.
I thought for a moment that you were going to be like that you were saying that they would be like, we want to be on Dynamite. And I was like, that's not right. But what you said is exactly right. They don't care about being on Dynamite and they don't want to be on Rampage. Oh, great. Great. Okay. Well, we'll see them and can't wait to find out what they're up to. Hangman, as I just said, fought Wheeler Yuta on Rampage last week and won. And you were present for this. And I believe you said it happened right after the final match, the main event.
It was right after the Jay Briscoe tribute. So the energy was just like a little bit weird in the arena. It felt kind of like low energy. Like I was very excited to see Hangman, but then like, I don't know, everyone, it was just like a little bit of weird feeling. Like it was a fine match.
You could tell that the crowd was in a downturn moment, but the match was good. They went really hard. And then this week on Dynamite, Mox and Hangman had their rematch. So that opened the show. Ooh, okay. So Mox entered with he has a real life father who,
shocking,
I almost said gave birth to him, but probably not. Maybe, but probably not. And so he entered with his real life father and his fake TV son, swagger down to the ring.
Doesn't it seem like Mox should have been like in an orphanage, like a 19th century orphanage? Absolutely. Maybe like it's crazy to me that he has like an alive father.
Yeah. Like that's a little artful dodger.
Yeah. On the mean streets of Cincinnati. Yeah.
So he attacked Hangman in the middle of his entrance. They brawled through the audience for quite a while before the fight even officially started. We can get into the action in the moment, but in the moment from now, Mox won. Hangman was pretty worked up. The rest of the BCC, so that's just Claudio and Yuta, which we'll get into later, came out, and Claudio was kind of keeping Mox and Hangman separated while they continued to posture at each other in a big way. I mean, it's like, it's like a kind of a cockfight.
You said it.
I said it, not you. I'll take the blame. Or the praise, depending on what people say.
I was more in agreeing, like, you said it.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Yeah. What did you guys think?
That was a sexual match.
Intercourse.
Possibly the most sexual match I've ever seen in my life.
They heard us last time saying like great technical sex, and they said it could be technically sexer. And they did it. And they did it because what can I say legally?
Hangman like smearing Mox's blood on his chest. Ugh. Like ugh. The scratching reached new levels of back scratching, I would say.
Big scratchy, big kissy.
Big gassy, big kissy. Open mouth kiss on the back. And then on the face. Big open mouth on the face.
Yeah. They were because unreal. I love when men are like so. Like Mox opens up a world of possibilities for them with his big, wet, open mouth kisses, where you can see the moment where they're like, can I do big, wet, open mouth kisses? And you may say what they're doing is biting, but I say, no, that's not what they're doing.
I mean, what they're saying is, oh, I'm allowed to put my mouth on him. I'd love to put my mouth on him. And then they do. Yeah.
And we watched with our eyes. And I was not untangling yarn at this point. I'll tell you that for free.
But listen, that's what Tony's paying Mox for. He's being a mentor. He's helping people out. He's being a backstage coach. And what that means is leading by example. So he comes out here every match saying, I'm so putting strong. It in. Mm-hmm. And the people watch him and say, wow,
we can be doing that. I'm empowered to put it in.
He's got to run some seminars backstage. Be like, guys, here's how you put it in the ring in front of everybody.
I think he is running those seminars. I think that might be what's happening with the Blackpool Combat Club a little bit. You know, I don't like to talk about it, but so it was sex. It was sexual intercourse.
They're two most beautiful men too. Like their bodies are looking incredible.
I mean, I will say that for me, and I love you, Mox, you're a perfect man, you're perfect body, but Hangman's body is so perfect that it's in another stratosphere.
Yeah.
Even from John Moxley.
Because it looks like it shouldn't be real.
You want to see like a marble sculpture of
I think you should be carving marble sculpture of man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where are you, Leonardo? Where are you now that I need?
What's the guy who does the sculptures, but like, you can still see like the skin index?
Oh, the like grabbing. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, yeah.
I want to say Bellini, and I know that that's not it because that's a food.
But it's close though.
I feel like I'm close.
Yeah.
It could be anything like that. Anything along those lines in terms of the number of vowels.
I need that long dead man to sculpt Hangman.
A human is like.
I know. A long dead man.
That long dead man.
The dead man has to be long, all right?
He's not long.
I don't want
back to the grave.
Oh okay. My god.
Yeah, this is a normal segment.
It was fine. I think it's fine. It's what the people want.
And then it really ended with Mox and Hangman just yelling that they couldn't quit each other at the end there. So I mean, no complaints.
No, none. Zero complaints.
I Mox did kind
won.
Of work
did I
my
say head. That?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He did. But he won in a very interesting way because like Hangman was like not beaten up that much and Mox was like falling over. He just kind of won by surprise, which was kind of cool.
Well, the men all said that that was great wrestling strategy. And Manolo said that Mox proved that he was the smarter wrestler, but Hangman could still prove to be the stronger wrestler. And I said, I don't know about any of that. I don't know about any of that. But they did each other's moves, I think, which also is sex. What do you think is going to happen next? Like, where are we heading in terms of Hangman and the BCC? Are they going to fight more? Are they going to fight two men on two men, three men on three men? Is he going to become friends with them or no, he'd be enemies with them? What do you think?
I did work myself a little bit because like Mox was standing there with Claudio and Yuta. And I was like, three men, one Hangman.
Like what a Sesame Street segment. One,
what if two? What if two men come out, two Hangman?
And Sarah and I just kept going, Bucks, bring Bucks, bring Bucks, please. I don't know that will happen because I don't know. The trios thing like seems like it's going to need a little bit more solid time before they can dysregulate that much. But at the same time, I want it.
You know, they are going to make us wait. And I am going to enjoy every moment of waiting. And I'm going to enjoy every time. I'm going to work myself over and over again. And I'm going to be perfectly happy about it.
Oh, yeah. I'll have no complaints about what happens to me.
Because in my mind, I'll be imagining that Hangman is thinking also three men, one man, two men. Do I need two men? Do I need two men right now?
That's a great question. Has he interacted with the Dark Order like at all since?
Not recently. And I haven't seen the Dark Order. I guess they've been on BTE.
Yeah, it just suddenly occurred to me that I was like, he kind of like lost the trios match for the Dark Order by screwing up the Buckshot Lariat. And have they not? Are they on the outs now?
I think that they addressed it on BTE and it seemed fine. But I also think that they didn't really resume their friendship properly either. So who knows?
It's very funny to like at this point, I feel like we have so many trios floating around with not to do because the elite were out of action and the whole thing has been elite death triangle. So it's like, I mean, just because the Dark Order as a trio, I was like kind of expecting to see them in action. We really haven't seen them do anything. Anything else to say about this sweaty sex?
I mean, they could do this match for me every week and I would be perfectly happy.
I just keep saying like, I'm like best of seven, best of seven.
Yeah.
Best of seven.
Best of 20?
Fight forever. 21? As they say.
Yeah.
But they've got to fight. They're going to fight at Revolution, right? We're not.
I hope so.
Sure.
I mean, Tony, that's a big money match.
Don't you want to make some money?
Tony, we got to make some money.
Make some money?
You're leaving money on the table, Tony.
It's your biggest program, Tony. Okay. Well, I assume they're gonna do. I guess maybe it's just because I've seen so many people be like, they gotta do a bloody guts. Not that it's not a blood and guts. They gotta do a no rules, just right match. So I assume they'll do that. It's a big money match, Tone. You guys want to talk about, we'll talk about the dark side of the BCC. Mm. Okay. So we'll start by saying that Takeshita, after swooping in to save Brian Danielson last week, had his own fight against Brian Cage on Rampage. I don't know why I keep saying that. And won. And then he looked big. We'll talk about that in a moment. Big and beautiful. And then later in the show, Brian Danielson fought an American gremlin named Timothy Thatcher. And he fought this man on Dynamite. And he beat him. And that's when I was getting into my yarn. No worries about that. And they did what the men called excellent technical grappling. I don't know about that because I didn't watch a minute of this match. And I'm sorry to those men. And it wasn't for me. It wasn't my interest.
This is one of MJF's alleged like seven evil exes that he has to fight, yes. Right? Is MJF just paying them? Did I miss that? Like what's the unifying?
He's paying some of them, but some of them he doesn't have any interaction with. So I don't know.
Yeah. It seems like it's just like Brian Danielson got to pick seven men, but it's like, what's happening?
It's really his seven prospective boyfriends. I did think when MJF did this bit with the Labors of Jericho, I actually was looking back on it thinking about these two events in comparison with each other. And I like in retrospect that at least with Jericho, they did do a real evil exes thing where I felt like they kept telling us like, this is why this person is meaningful for Jericho to fight. Brian Danielson is just getting the damn grab bag. I know he's happy about it, but to me, there's like nothing going on. Like it's either I like the man he's wrestling, so I like watching it because they both do good wrestling, or I couldn't give less of a shit because you gave me no reason to.
Yeah. Right. It's kind of wild that they haven't done any kind of unifying anything.
Right. And it's like sort of, it's, you know how Mox's thing is that he just shows up to wrestling because he really likes fighting. It's like Brian Daniels said, I could believe that he actually doesn't really give that much of a shit about fighting MJF at Revolution. It's just that he likes the terms of this, which is that he has to wrestle every week, you know. Right. And he's just I don't care about Revolution, but you should keep throwing guys at me,
because he's also not telling a story about like trying to get to MJF or anything about MJF at all.
No, he's just really amped to be in the ring as much as he's in the ring.
Yeah.
Don't you think it would actually be kind of effective against MJF if Danielson kept being like, to be clear, I'm not even looking forward to wrestling. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm having my fun now. You gave me a treat.
That is fairly
like MJF would hate that.
Devastating. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway,
go ahead. No, you can keep summarizing.
Well, I'll try to get to the end of it. Somehow this was a lot of action to summarize for some reason. The referee got broken, hurt or something. MJF came out, was attacking Danielson. Takeshita, who had already fought that night, came out in a sweet little sweatsuit or something to defend Brian Danielson again. And then later we saw Takeshita and MJF still brawling in the back. And Tony Khan booked them in a match for next week, despite MJF like actively being like, you can't do this to me. And I did like Tony Schiavone on commentary having the time of his life. Like, you don't get to call all the shots, you gotta wrestle. At some point, I guess Brian Danielson won that match. And then we had a segment where MJF talked to Roosh and gave him some money and said, please beat Brian Danielson. And Roosh said something mean to MJF. And then they're gonna fight. Okay, go ahead, Anne.
Oh, I was just gonna, now I don't remember what I was gonna say, but MJF again, like, was a little racist to Roosh, which I didn't love that's like now a consistent thing he's doing. But it's so interesting to me that like Brian Danielson is just not doing an angle on MJF at all. Like MJF is like number one heel boy, like with the belt. So like Danielson should be like running some kind of like baby face angle, but it's just like nothing.
Someone tried to tell me I read it on twitter.com. They were saying that it's like because of, in his promo last week, it's like the setup is that Danielson loves to wrestle and is like offended that MJF doesn't like it or something. I don't know. I was like, I'm not getting really any of that. It's like when someone is trying to tell you what a wine tastes like and we're saying fruity and juicy.
That's like a good guess of why that could be an angle that they're not explicitly doing on TV at all. Yeah.
Well, don't you think like with the exception of like Hangman and Mox, this is a repeated problem with like a lot of these feuds, because I was going to make a lot of these same objections and we will get there and I'll repeat them about Ricky and Jericho, you know, where I'm like, and you can make them about Jade and Red Velvet, where you're like, it's not the wrestling that's the problem. It's that no one is actually putting in the effort at the front half to be like,
yeah,
this is why I'm mad at you. But like, usually it's not this bad in every feud.
Right. Yeah. But you're right. We have, and we've been complaining about it for years because we say with our little English major minds, we're like, it's 30 seconds of work. You just got to say one sentence that contextualizes your actions in terms of your character. And we're there. We're not asking for that much.
Yeah. And being a babyface against MJF should be like an easy home. Like, this should be such an angle that like, you could just be like, I object to your racism. Like, you know, like there's a million
Cody,
things you could
Cody
do.
Would be making a fucking meal out of that.
Yeah, right.
In America, racism doesn't exist. Racism is over.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Rip Cody.
I will say that I wasn't that offended about the Roosh segment. Like, I didn't think it was as bad as like the Takeshita one, but I think part of it is just that I really like Roosh. And for like 15 minutes, me and Sarah just kept going back and forth being like, Roosh is so much better than Andrade. It was good that we traded Roosh for Andrade. Roosh is, I agree, great. People aren't talking about Roosh enough.
Roosh is
wild
doing amazing
how much
work.
Andrade has just fallen out of my brain now that everybody who's missing is just like, eh.
And I liked his stallion body and his wrestling. Mm. I did, but he didn't give me any. Oh, he did give us that one Darby Allin promo. We tried to buy Darby because he's a little boy.
That was beautiful work.
My God, and he'll always have Paris.
And he punched Sammy Guevara. So I'll always appreciate what he gave us. Yeah.
Good for him, but not good for him because he seems like a real pain in the butt. Okay. And you want to get into this point that you made about the relationship between old Bryan Danielson and the BCC.
Yeah, this is like the other stupid thing they're doing with this, which is like obviously Bryan Danielson had like big fights with the BCC around the Regal stuff, but then they never really said like if he's out of the club or not. Like, is he allowed in the clubhouse anymore? Like, does he go to their gatherings? We don't know. I keep seeing people on twitter.com being like, why aren't like Mox and Yuta rescuing Danielson when he gets, you know, and Takeshita has to instead. And it's like, just would it kill them to give us like 30 seconds where they're like, you know, Danielson, we're not your friends anymore or whatever stupid little thing. Just seems like an easy thing to do instead of just dropping it the way they drop so many.
And they're like half-assing it because like Mox and Danielson tagged together somewhat recently, didn't they? But then then he hasn't interacted with them in any way that matters, like,
right? And wasn't the tagging after the Regal fights? Mm-hmm. I feel like it's just like recent. Well, this doesn't make any sense at all.
Mm-hmm. So he's just being an alley cat dad who only shows up like every 2 weeks. Right. Oh my God, he's the dad from Shameless. He's Noel Gallagher. No, that's not who I mean. That's Oasis. That's,
I mean, Noel Gallagher might be that kind of dad.
Let's double down. He's Noel Gallagher. We all agree. Noel Gallagher.
He just we've all discussed it a week recently. Great work.
Oh, and in the meantime, like, what's Eddie's relationship to the BCC also? Because like, he's just out there doing whatever with Ortiz, and it's never been addressed. Like, guys, what are we even doing here? Tell me a story.
The story that Eddie is telling is so funny because he only has like 25 seconds every like three to four weeks. Yeah. But like, he uses that time to be like being like, I am psychotically going through something. Like, my mental health is at an all-time low. Mm-hmm. I'm experiencing demons. And then it's like it cuts away and you're like, okay, well, I guess I'll watch the Acclaimed now.
Right. He says, my mental situation is so inaccessible to you. And so that's all you can know.
All these things are kind of like if you like at work, like some people you don't know very well, they like always used to sit together in the cafeteria and now they're not. Mm. And like, you don't really know what happened and you're not close enough to ask, you know, like that's what these storylines feel like, except they're entertainers putting on a show for me. So I feel like we should get a little bit of the backstage happening in those friendships. Just a little note for me to them.
Yeah. I'd love a little more. I'd love a little more from some of these storylines. Even just some moments. Like, you do a little backstage BCC thing where it's like Yuta being like, where were you when Mox needed you, Daniel? Exactly. And Daniel said, like, I can't be around all the time. I got stuff to do.
I was at Trader Joe's.
He would never. He would never. They put all the produce in plastic. He would never. Okay. anything else to say about MJF and old Brian Danielson?
Nada.
We'll see how it develops, shall we? Let's talk about the girls. So Jamie Hayter fought Emi Sakura on Rampage. This slapped. It was just good. banger violence.
So good.
Big slaps and stuff.
The crowd was so into this, and it was so gratifying to see them all like so energized for the women's match. But it was like, yeah, people love Jamie Hayter, and this was just killer. Top
and
bomb.
Emi Sakura, I know, but like it's one of those things where it's like everyone tells you how great she is, and then you like see her and you're like, hey, by the way, you guys know, and you're like, yeah.
She's like pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. The Rolling Stone slap. Yeah. I know. Like the whole time I was like, she's like really charismatic. She's like, she's got a big personality. She's doing heel shit like crazy.
Guys, have you ever heard of this band Fleetwood Mac? I just started listening to them.
I mean, and they just, you know, they were hitting each other hard. The appearance of hitting each other. I don't know what they're doing to each other. Okay. You know, that's not my business. But the appearance as a viewer is that they were smacking the shit out of each other. Mm-hmm. And that's a quality. That's what I like to see. It looked real. It looked intense. That's what I like.
You don't get to see Jamie Hayter like in the Orange Cassidy suffering zone. Mm-hmm. She was kind of, you know, in certain ways, like,
oh yeah.
A few times Emi Sakura hit her enough that she was just writhing. And I was like, I'm not affected.
No, and her and okay. So I loved Britt ringside, not interfering, just looking like she also was like, oh my God, what are you doing to my beautiful girlfriend?
Britt went around and got that Haterade sign too. And so she was just like holding it up for a lot of the match.
Being a real supporter these days.
Yeah.
And also Emi Sakura hit Jamie Hayter's chopped her chest so hard that it was all like red hurt. Speckly hurt. You know, it gets speckly hurt because the blood vessels hurt. Pop, right? It really looked good to me.
It really did. I can't stop thinking about our friend Mary said at one point on Twitter that like Shida wrestles very different in Japan than she does for AEW because like she can wrestle like stiffer and like more brutal because the girls in Japan can take it. But that's how she was wrestling Jamie Hayter, like because Jamie Hayter can take it. And it's like,
not holding back. Oh,
I
yeah.
Like it.
I love it.
So good.
You and like it?
And Jamie's like the choker like attachment on her costume started to come down, and Britt had to run up behind her and like try to reattach it while she was still fighting. That's good stuff.
Wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah.
Classic. Ooh, I'm tired. Okay. And then on Dynamite this week, the Bunny challenged Jamie to a fight, which Jamie accepted. But the exchange was interrupted by some footage of Saraya and Toni Storm beating Britt up backstage. So Jamie had to run off, deal with that. Later, we got a little women's locker room, I guess, segment where Ruby Soho dropped by, I think just to be like, I saw you got beat up. That sucks or something. And they had this exchange where Britt was like, well, aren't those your friends who beat me up? Basically being like, who are you aligned with? And we left on a note of uncertainty. Ooh, what do you guys think about the storyline?
So funny because like on Rampage, Ruby and Britt also had like a very similar little exchange where Britt was like, what if you picked a side? And Ruby was like, what if you bite me? Like, and I just think that this is such like on Britt and Ruby's side, this is such an interesting story. Like, I'm really fascinated. I'm fascinated by what it's doing to Britt, where Britt is like, I'm so mad I'm gonna accidentally do good, but I'm mad about it. Like, that's fantastic. Then you fucking cut to Saraya, who just in the most cartoon like villain voice is like, I'm gonna get you. I'm a bad girl. Like, how is she less convincing as a heel than she was as a bad person playing a face?
Well, like, don't you think that it is that she can't recognize the things that she was just doing because they came naturally to her that actually were heel behavior? Like, she's just like, yes, I'll be a heel, so I'll do different things, and can't just be like, no, I was behaving in ways that made people not be happy with me.
They shouldn't have told her she was turning heel. They should have been like, you're doing great, just keep it up, keep saying the things you're saying, and then just like let it play out.
It's interesting stuff.
It is great, though. I mean, they're having so many interesting, like, to have stuff going on between Brit and Ruby and, like, mm-hmm. Ruby and Willow and, you know, like, there's just, like, a lot of different networked relationships, which is the women haven't done before. And it's right. so yeah. good.
And I think it's really working out for, like, Jamie to be, like, a really good wrestler who's putting on these banger matches week after week after week. And Brit is kind of dragging Jamie into, like, actual storylines. Yeah. It's almost like they're tag teaming the things that you're supposed to be doing as a wrestler, and between the two of them are accomplishing it. And I liked it.
That's so beautiful. Let me hit you with something that I said a long time ago. When Ruby first showed up and Britt and Ruby had that amazing chemistry.
Yeah.
And we said, Deb and Gina, Empire Records.
Yeah.
And what do Deb and Gina eventually do? They say, rip. They say rip. They say rip it up. And they do team up, and they come to understand each other in a better, deeper way.
Mm. So true. So true. Wow.
As the prophecy foretold.
You know what? We are always spitting truths on this podcast. We are always so right. And people just they say, why would you say such stupid things? But we weren't stupid. We were right.
We were right. We're actually always right.
We're actually like kind of playing like 12-dimensional chess, and that's why people don't get it sometimes.
Right. You're gonna, in time, you'll understand. Okay. Yeah, but I think it's a good women's storyline. I mean, it's a kind of a great women's storyline. I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm excited to see like where people end up, you know, who they end up aligning with and where they end up. I do hope that Saraya just looks a little better, different work than she do. But
it was like Toni Storm. She was like showing a lot more personality in the ring now that she's turned heel. Like just like when I was there, she was like making little faces and doing stupid little heel stuff. And like, yeah, it's easier to be a heel, but it's nice to like give her some direction to like do something, you know?
No, it's good. And I think I like watching her wrestling more when she's doing it in a heel way, to be honest. Yeah,
totally. Yeah. Much less wet dish rag of a woman.
Yeah. If you can't
lean into it, exactly,
then you gotta be evil. Them's the rules.
Baby faces cry. That's how it is. I mean, honestly, like I think we've stumbled on a deep truth here, because like, who are the biggest baby faces at AEW? Like Hangman and Eddie. Who are the men criers. Most likely to cry out here?
They're criers. Yeah, they are criers.
Complimentary, to be clear.
Absolutely,
we want to see it.
Complimentary.
We want to friggin' see it.
Yeah, please. Let's talk about show it more. Like if Hangman wants to cry after that Mox match, like that would really, I think, take things to another level for me. Maybe unsafe level.
He should cry on Mox so they share get those tears all over.
Yeah.
Do you remember after the barbed wire match when Mox and Eddie were like sitting next to that fire drinking? I just picture like after whatever No Rules Just Right match they have, it just cuts to the two of them like sitting outside somewhere crying, sharing a beer.
I simply would like to see it. That's why I am so interested in like where we're heading. It's really fun to feel right now with the BCC and the Elite and like Takeshita and Danielson. Like, even though we don't know exactly what's happening with Danielson and the BCC, the one thing you can say about that is that it creates kind of an interesting feeling of like there are even more puzzle pieces than there would be if he was clearly with the faction. And I can't figure out what this puzzle is going to look like when we put it together. And that is exciting.
Yeah,
and that is, that's what the it's Elite true. Bring to the table, my friends. They're a beautiful puzzle. They're a beautiful puzzle. Hand-carved wooden puzzle.
Mm.
Kenny would never have that. He would have an ugly video game. An ugly video game. Sorry, Kenny.
I bet every furniture in his house is just like black leather.
Absolutely. It's like there is no furniture. It's like literally it's just his gaming chair.
Just a gaming chair. Yeah.
Just a gaming chair.
And like a folding chair that he puts, or a folding.
You can sleep in a gaming chair. Card table. Put it back all the way. Good for you.
Point. He probably has like an air mattress on the floor.
Kenny is. He's a college boy living on the lam. You are right about that. My God. I won't tell the story on the air. Okay. Circle back with me later about that.
It'll be on our Patreon.
Okay. Jade fought Red Velvet this week and won, and that was her 50th match. And now she's 50-0 because she fought 50 of the matches. She won them all, and she is 50-0 and she won against Red Velvet. Well, what do you think about that?
Why was her 50th match as important as her 49th match?
It's a great question. I didn't realize it was the 50th until after when they put it up, and I was like, oh, that's nice.
I think this is what I would call the dark side of edging. This isn't good. This isn't good edging. I like getting edged, as I've said before with the Elite. I said, edge me. You can edge me for years. Slow. I'm all right with the slow burn.
Yeah.
Casey Musgraves. But this is the bad. This is the bad version of that.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Gone through so many phases with it. It was like, it was boring, and then it was funny, and then I was enjoying it, and then now it's boring again. Just like, and they must do something else.
This is one of those, this is another one of those moments where it would have taken so little to make a real story. Here, like right before Red Velvet defected and Jade was being mean to Kira Hogan, Jade had defeated Kira's girlfriend. Like,
yeah.
Why didn't they just link that together? It would have taken no time.
They keep doing like half stories with the baddies that I can't follow, and then they don't go anywhere. It's like, they just drop them. Doing here,
right? And you do train people, like, if you drop enough stories, which they have, then people stop paying as much attention to this, to what you set up, because it's just like, I'm never going to get any follow through on that. You train people how to read the text,
right?
And some people train you to read it really well, but some people don't.
I just want Chris Statlander to come back and beat Jade if that's what we're waiting for. Like, she can't get to 100 matches, right? Like, tell me they're not gonna have her get to 100.
I mean, well, but like they have to give it to her. Like, it has to be like a significant number, right? When they make like this much of a big deal. But I'm like, if they don't start racking some shit up on Dark, I'm gonna kill myself. Like,
oh God, seriously.
It somehow just occurred to me, how many TNT champions have we had in the time that we've had one TBS champion?
Like 100. It was like
maybe 100.
Cody, Sammy,
Scorpio.
And this is Wardlow. Only since Miro. Yeah. And then Wardlow, Joe, Darby.
Mama.
Joe. We'll talk about that later. But it's been a real suckhole. Yeah.
Classic suckhole. Yeah. I don't know what to say at this point. I've had, as you said, many periods in the cycle where I'm like, I'm enjoying this. I see the comedy in this. I think like, I like Jade now. It's not that I don't like Jade, but we've got to do something. We need something to change, because we've been doing setup world building on this character and nothing has changed in a year. Mm-hmm. Nothing about the character has changed.
No, absolutely.
And that
nothing.
Is unacceptable to me.
Right. That's not a story. If your characters aren't changing, if there's no conflict, you got nothing.
It's just an oil painting. Right. And that wouldn't take, well, I don't know. Okay. So
imagine if they had done a thing where Red Velvet pretended to betray Chris because she wanted to get deep into Jade's confidences. And then we got all these segments where like Jade was like telling Red Velvet like things she's afraid of, things she's worried about, things she loves.
Oh my God.
And Jade was opening up, and Red Velvet was like, you can tell me anything. And then she finally told her Achilles heel, and then Red Velvet used it against her. Imagine.
My God.
And it's a literal Achilles heel.
Yeah.
She has.
And then Chris comes back.
Yes.
And then, and you could literally do that in so little time, because this has been going on for so long. You could give them 1 minute every other week, and you could have crafted like a very good story out of it.
Take it from MJF.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I don't even want people's promos to go for more than like 3 minutes anyway. Like, so you can get it done.
A good promo that goes long is great to me. Like, it's like, if it's great, it's great.
Yeah.
But most of them don't need that much time.
Mm-hmm. They're not telling complicated stories here. You know, it's a simple medium.
And someone says to us, it's about the quarter hours. And I say, I don't know about that. That's not.
Am I
business.
A network executive? No, I'm not. So
yeah,
not my business.
The only thing that I really liked about like the data, people this week was just being like, and the women seem to draw expand 75% during Hangman's match. And I was like, yeah, they logged on for the Hangman.
Yeah. And
because his body should be a marble statue. Yeah. Rocket science.
And did someone point out that Mox was like, when he was in the Shield, it was the NSYNC for women of wrestling at the time? Yeah. Like, yeah, that's right. I heard of him.
I heard of
him. I wasn't a wrestling fan yet, but yeah, I knew about the Shield. Okay.
Yeah. You all knew about the Shield.
Let's talk about it.
Hey, ladies. Let's talk about the TNT title.
Let's talk about our Shield.
Samoan Joe. Oh, that's offensive.
Let's talk about our Shield. Let's talk really about our Shield.
Demeaning the name of NSYNC when you say things like that.
Were you guys NSYNC girls or Backstreet Boys girls?
I really wasn't either, to be honest with you.
But you didn't have any. Yeah.
Yeah, I was an NSYNC girl.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't in like I wasn't like a serious little pop girly, but you had to have an affiliation. I was an NSYNC girly.
I was probably more NSYNC, but I was like pretentious. I was too good for it. So.
Oh yeah.
Let's bring up this topic off <here. laughs> I'll tell you some stuff.
Sweet. Okay. So if whoever's taking the notes, Leah and I both have stories to share.
Producer Marjorie, if you could just jot that down for when we hang
make
out
a little
here.
Note. And that's all going on the Patreon, no problem. Darby and Samoa Joe had their third match of the trio. They love to have these trios, these three matches. It was the main event of time. Was that
trilogy.
Good?
Was that trilogy, good radio? Maybe.
Yeah, really. Trilogy. That's the word I was looking for. I thought what I've said isn't right, but I don't know how to correct it. Okay, trilogy. Third of the trilogy. Main event of Dynamite. They did a lot of stuff. And the men loved it. The men had a great time. As far as I can tell from reading their reactions online, they loved what they saw. What I'm now calling, and I'll soft launch the term. I already did that in our group chat. It's a busy beaver match. They're dismantling things. They're building new things.
They're doing little Lego projects. You know, they're stripping things down. They're getting out their Leatherman tool and cutting apart the ring.
Saying, pause for a second. I think I got a different way to do this. I think we're going to get a lot of use out of this term. Busy beaver match. And fighting, kicking, peeled the ring back to the boards. Boom on the boards, all the stuff, you know the drill. And then it was Samoa Joe versus Darby. I said that Samoa Joe won the match, and he is the TNT champion again. And he said to us on the microphone, he said, "I am the now again the undisputed king of television." And I thought, I didn't want to say it to you before, but that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Well, and I kind of feel like he ripped it off from Orange Cassidy, who's the king of the ocean, you know? It's like, and he's a comedy boy, so it's okay for him. Funny. But like, Samoa Joe, what are you doing?
Well, Samoa Joe is saying it really seriously.
I know.
Like, it's cool to be the king of television. It's not.
I think he's like said it for a long time too.
Which
is, I hate that. I don't
And
think
I've been resentful on behalf of Orange Cassidy for a while now. So been keeping that under.
Well, but has Samoa Joe been saying it for longer than Orange Cassidy? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, longer than.
No. Oh, yes. Has he? No. Yeah,
he's been saying it since he was in WWE.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay.
Long time gimmick.
It's still garbage.
Look, it's silly, and my heart is as cold as ice. Hard and cold to the touch.
I softened to Joe when he started doing interesting heel stuff, but I'm like, you shouldn't win the belt back this quickly. Like, that's just not
so
what it's
boring.
For.
It's
it
Cody, so Sammy, boring. Cody. Oh, yeah. Cody, Sammy, Cody again.
Oh,
eat my dick.
I like had barely started to be like, oh, the TNT belt, this will be fun again, like out of the 6 months of incredible boredom. But now they're just going to rerun Joe Wardlow.
I saw multiple people being like, Darby's filming a TV show. That's why. And I was like, okay, but that's like, that's Tony's business. What I see on my screen is my business. And I didn't like that. So come up with a better way to get Darby out of here if you want.
Darby being gone doesn't mean.
what I see on my screen is Tony's business too. And Tony yeah. needs to take his business a little more seriously.
Well, it's like, sure, Darby's gone. That doesn't mean that Samoa Joe has to have the title again. There's a lot of people in this company. Like,
that's what I mean.
Give me something. That's what I mean.
If you were starting with the premise, I've got to take the belt off Darby so he can go do this other thing I want to let him do. That, like, yeah, that's unfortunate. I wanted to see Darby hang out with that belt, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the next part of the sentence is, so I have to give it back to Samoa Joe.
I guess we have to do Samoa Joe Wardlow again. That's the only thing left.
Choice. let me quickly explain, which I didn't, that at the end of this match, Samoa Joe won the match, as I said. Wardlow came out. He has a short hair now because of when Samoa Joe cut his hair off, and he was really mad. And He came and tackled Samoa Joe and tried to powerbomb him, and Samoa Joe got out of the ring. And then what did Wardlow? Oh, what can you imagine that Wardlow did? Immediately starts powerbombing security guards again. I'm really trying to control my voice for multiple reasons right now, but I hope it's clear how insulting this is to me as a viewer. Yep. Like, what do you want me to think about this? Do you want me to think that this man is good or bad? Manolo has pizzazz on inside seats, seems to think he's a heel. Samoa Joe is a heel. It's fine to have a heel versus heel thing. Do you think that I give a shit about anybody in this? I hate Wardlow now. I hate Wardlow way more than I hate Samoa Joe, because he has to stop power bombing people who are just doing their jobs.
Yeah. You know what they should do is, if they want to like launch another wrestler, like if they have an Action Andretti that they want to bring in here, what they should have is introduce them as a security guard, and then have that man unionize the security guard and then defeat Wardlow. And then I would be behind that man so strongly.
I would kill for that man. I would be buying that man's t-shirt so quickly.
I would support him financially in any way I could. Wow, that really worked me up. It's so true.
Yeah, I want that. I want King security guards so bad. That should if I could guarantee that that's what would happen, it'd almost be worth it to give Wardlow back the belt just so King security guard could take it.
Yeah.
Wardlow should have to be, I can't believe I'm saying this, it's like, this man was an MJF's employee for a year, and we really sympathized with him because it was not a good situation. This man should be Freaky Friday'd with a security guard and have to live life as they live it and get power bombed while you're just like, you're just doing your stupid job. And it's not even, it's not necessary to power bomb you. It's grandstanding. For what purpose? Mm. And then this is what I just want to quickly say. No, Leah, I see you speaking, so speak.
No. I was just going to add on, the week that you would do this is the week where Hangman wasn't cleared. And so this poor security guard that's Freaky Friday, it's like, Wardlow's like, I can't keep these men apart. This is so hard.
It's harder to be a security guard than I thought. I really learned a valuable lesson here today.
How to learn a lesson. He has to learn a lesson. He has to learn a lesson.
He has to learn.
I saw people on twitter.com, a site I have to stop frequenting, and I will, because it's about to go into the sea. It doesn't work that good anymore.
Sure doesn't. No,
I saw people saying, look at the amazing pop that Wardlow got as he came out. The crowd just needed a light little break, and now it's a full reset on the character and they love him again. Ugh. I was so enraged, and also dealing with my yarn, that that I didn't notice what the crowd did. But I want to reiterate, as I've made very clear in this segment, that I needed a much longer break from Wardlow, or I need to see his character do a big change. That man, something has got to give, and that man has got to make himself pathetic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything he's done with his personality has been absolutely repulsive. So, and it's very like, I'm just, you know, like a sexy, sexy sex god man who's like really good at powerbombing. It's like, yeah, like, don't love
I came
that.
Here to fuck and powerbomb a security guard, and I'm all out of women.
I wasn't sure what he was going to be all out of. And that
I thought
was
it was going to be fucks. But I like both. He's all out of women and fucks. He can't fuck anymore. No more women. So got to be a man. Okay. I don't know what we're talking about anymore. I'm really, it's like real flames at the side of my face situation, to be honest.
It was so upsetting. It was just like, my God.
Yeah. I mean, I've had enough.
Yeah. And like, we just saw so much of them already. And now, and I thought we were free. I thought Tony had been visited by the ghosts and had repented, and he has really not, I guess.
I don't know. I wash my hands of it, to be honest.
And we don't we just see two big men wrestle each other. What's the point of that? What's the point?
It's okay if sometimes they want to have a hoss match for the men, but it can't be a weekly occurrence.
Not the men can have their fun, but not every week.
And they can't spit in my eye and tell me it's a storyline and then do a hoss match.
No.
The hoss matches, they just show up, they come out of nowhere, I zone out, they leave again. It is not a storyline. I do not want to see it.
Absolutely. Regularly. The Haas matches when the men, they meet by chance in the wilderness.
When one Haas meets another Haas in the wilderness. And they're
it's like a body meet bulls. A body coming through the rye. You know,
they lock like horns.
They lock antlers. Yeah.
I like, I've been imagining two fully grown male kangaroos, but horns works as well. Whatever they have, horns or the big feet or whatever they have that they're fighting with.
We went North American, but you're an Australian girl. I went
down under.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, should we move on?
We simply
torture
must.
Me, Tony. I guess you're gonna give me something I hate next week. I can't wait to see what it is.
But the next match, the next section is exciting.
The next section is very fun. So the Acclaimed were gonna be in action on Dynamite. They came out, they squashed some jobbers who are from Kentucky, I believe.
I think so.
Yeah. And then the Guns came out and they did a little kind of ongoing group therapy sketch with Papa Gun, where they were just being like, we're so sad because you weren't a good dad to us and you popped pills. And the whole time they were doing it, I was just like, these are wrestle babies. Like, they grew up in the industry and they are not afraid. To, Billy Gunn said, go there. And they said, we will, dad. So they went there.
Nothing's off limits to a wrestle family. Off limits.
And then they, with guile, goaded Billy Gunn into saying, yeah, you fight the Acclaimed because just the Acclaimed are going to kill you. And then what did you see on the Guns' faces?
A Cheshire Cat smile.
Smirks. A Cheshire Cat smile.
They say, we did a good fooling.
We were manipulating him all along.
With now guile. Who's Papa ass?
I think still Billy Gunn. Which do you think is the new Papa ass, Colton or Austin?
I'm like really in a Colton place right now. Like, I'm
I know
like
you are.
Big Colton.
I know you're a cult. Yeah, I'll work on it. I'll workshop it.
I described him last night as like, the dick is sublime, but he definitely gives you crabs.
Well, it's upsetting to hear, but I do think you're right.
Yeah. I do think he gives you crabs. I'll tell you that. About the crabs part? Yeah.
I was like, the dick is mediocre and he gives you crabs. So.
What the dick is none of my best. So fun.
This was the greatest segment. I was just having a blast. Like, the Gun Sons have just really come out of, you know, they were like nothing for a long time and now they've just like blasted out, entertaining the heck out of me.
And I think they're the perfect like people for the Acclaimed to keep feuding with, because like, when you look at the like list of like tag teams that aren't going to be used for the trios, there's not a lot of people that the Acclaimed can fight. And this is really fun. I saw multiple people being like, this is a step down for the Acclaimed. And I'm like, I love the Acclaimed and I would die for them, but they're comedy boys. What are they going to do? Like, who exactly do you want them to be fighting?
And they fought big people. Like, I don't feel like they need like to be built up. Like, I think having a little fun comedy thing with some emotional resonance, like it's great. And they're not going to get this with FTR.
No. What is that? What is the classic saying? There's no bad parts, only bad actors.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
And the Acclaimed are not bad actors. And they said, we rise to the occasion. And this is like, it's like a little indie script. It's the indie script that you read and you say, this is going to go far. This is Juno. This is a new Juno. It's Juno.
Working for me. Yeah.
She's pregnant. That's the question.
Who's gonna make Billy a grandfather first.
I hope someone does. I'm just waiting in anticipation for when the storyline gets there, which I'm sure it will.
The Acclaim did our go home speech last week, and Billy Gunn was like very funny and very dirty. And he was like, yeah, they're making me talk more than I have in my whole 30-year career, which is just very funny to think about. Like, he has to come out here and monologue about his relationship.
He's so
with
good at
children.
It.
He's doing great.
He's so
I know.
Good at it. It's surprising because, like, that whole part where he was walking up the ramp as his sons were yelling at his back, and he just stopped.
Yeah,
his face went a little gray, and then he turned. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, that was perfect.
And you know what? Beautiful. When you're not afraid to use something that's a little real, and I hope they've talked. You know, I hope they're on. I hope they've figured out whatever resentments there are. There may be. I hope they figured it all out. When you use something a little real, that's how you get that. Ooh, mm-hmm. A little. Ooh. Happy. Am I right? Anything else to say about the guns? Oh, do you think, is there any chance that the Acclaimed lose their belts to the guns?
I have to say no, but if it happened, I would be so happy.
It would be a real zag in a way where I was like, well, I don't hate it. Like, let's see where this is going.
So funny.
I would say take me on the journey. Take me on the journey, because the Acclaimed are so fun with the belts, but they'll be fun whatever they do.
Yeah, they're like the Elite, where they don't actually need it. They don't need the belts.
It'd be very funny if the guns won the belts and then their dad was like, yeah, actually I want to be with these guys.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, that would be the incredible comedy if he betrays father. Again. Yeah.
But I did say that the one thing that's wrong about this is that they shouldn't really be fighting for the belts. They should be fighting for custody.
Yeah.
Father.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I do agree with
the
that.
Real. Yeah. The real.
And
thing.
They're not brave enough to go there. But but I think it's still kind of what's happening. It's the
it's the spiritual
underlayer. It's the underlayer. Yeah. We're really at an hour. Do you have anything else that you really want to talk about?
Just quickly that Dustin looked really cute in his match.
He did look really cute. And I think that I'm pretty happy with the hair right now, to be honest.
He kind of needs a little volume on the sides. Like, I think the floppy hair is a good look for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the thing is that he has to take care of it, and he doesn't always, but he did last week.
Yeah. They need to have Kiehl's in the showers at the venues. And then he uses a little high quality shampoo, and that's how you get that lustrous volume. And you have beautiful waves, Dustin. Yeah. So you want, you want a little Farrah Fawcett, you want to brush it out. But when he doesn't wash the hair and you get greasy, then we don't get that volume and we get nasty.
So good.
Yeah.
So Dustin, are you listening as always, as you do every week, as you tune in every week?
Appointment listening. All those downloads from Philadelphia. We know who it is. Don't worry about that, Dustin.
Just wash it. That's it. And this isn't curl care. It's not complicated. Just wash it and brush it. You looked so cute. You're so cute. You're so beautiful.
So big.
Was so happy.
Rod.
It looked big. So sweet. Big arms, big shoulders.
Just a big, beautiful boy. Mm-hmm. Wow. You have the support of all of your mothers this week. As every week. But
as every week. Nothing you could do to lose that support, baby.
Well, he tries.
He tries.
He
really
works
hard.
Real hard. Yeah.
Really hard. He says they've got to stop paying attention to me.
Stop streaming. What else can I do?
You'll never lose us. The whole time I was watching The Last of Us, I thought, I hope Dustin had fun watching.
He loves this video game. It's his favorite.
He said, I hope he cries. It's a little emotional.
I bet he did.
Wow. Well, great work. Anything else?
No.
I have been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
It's Tunnel Talk, baby. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com, on Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod, actually. We never really say that, but I'll say it. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And come back next week.